Blog Talk Radio.
I was 10 years old, and I held my mother's...
Oh, wow. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey. Yes. Excited about today. You tuned in to the Love Journey? Yes, yes. We're going to get started with a beautiful song.
I'm
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey. Yes, yes, yes. This is Janine in England, and we're going to bring in Queen Arlene this morning. Good morning, Queen.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Love Journey family.
Yes. All right, I'm going to turn it over to you and get ready to meditate.
Okay. So I want everyone to take three cleansing breaths. Inhale and exhale. Breath. Ease your body up. Inhale. Your mind's eye. See a golden piece of light. In your mind's eye, see that golden beam of light come down through the crown of your head and everywhere this light touches, brings you into alignment with the source of creation. Come down inside, outside of your head, that golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Feel it come down your face, back of your head, inside and out, down your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your chest, that golden beam of light, and everywhere that light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Feel it come down your arms and down through your fingertips. Feel it come down your torso. This golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. And help source use you. Feel it come down your hips, your thighs, golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Feel it come down your knees. Your calves, your legs, your feet, the soles of your feet, and see that golden beam of light go down to the center of the earth, go down through the earth's layers to the very earth's core. Just stay here for a moment and just feel every cell and every fiber in your body resonate. Now, feel that golden beam of light make its way up to you, up through the earth's layers. Up through the soles of your feet, your legs, your calves, your knees, that golden beam of light. And everywhere that light touches, brings every cell in your body into complete alignment with the source of creation. Feel it go up your thigh, your hips, your fingertips, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches brings you into alignment with the source of creation. Feel it go up your arms, your torso, your chest, your shoulders, your neck, golden beam of light. Go up your face, the front of your head, the back of your head, inside and out. And everywhere this light touches, brings every cell in your body in alignment with the source of creation. Feel it go up through the crown of your head. Now see that golden beam of light expand out into your aura, out into all of the layers of your bioenergetic field. This whole perfect and completeness, let it expand. And let every energetic aspect of yourself be in complete resonance with the source of creation. You are whole, perfect, and complete. Father, Mother, God, illuminate the divine I am that is within us. Let everyone within the sound of my voice see themselves bring healing and wholeness to the mind, body, and spirit, to everyone within the sound of my voice. Bring healing and wholeness to our finances, relationships, and any area of our lives that we want improvement. Reveal to us what needs to be changed and released. Dissolve the fear. Dissolve the doubt, dissolve the resistance, dissolve the feelings of undeservedness. Let us stand and feel the absolute knowing that all is well. Let us stand and feel your presence. Let the illumination of your grace fill us. Help us to release our expectations of what our lives should look like, because your dream for us is larger than anything that we can ever imagine. To surrender and trust in you, God, let us resonate with the whole perfect completeness of the I am and the I am within us. And if there is anything that is missing from this prayer, please take it out of our consciousness and put it on thy altar seat and make it manifest to your divine will. And I say this to the consciousness of Christ, Amen, Ashe, and so it is.
Amen. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. You're tuned in to the Love Journey. And I am Janine Ann Ingram, and today is Monday. Oh, today is Money Manifesting Miracle Monday. Thank you to our Queen who brings us this beautiful prayer and beautiful meditation every Monday. We send love and light and beautiful, amazing gifts of joy, happiness, success, and lots of financial blessings over her life today for just sharing her gifts and her talents. Thank you so much, Queen.
Would you like to be of service?
Thank you so much. Share how they may contact you and what it is that you do.
Yes, you can reach me through my website. That's healingparadigms.com. That's HEALINGPARADIGMS.com. Or you can reach me through Facebook. My name, the name that I use on Facebook, is Arlene Kahet. That's K-A-H-E-T. Or you can give me a call at area code 973-885-6930.
All right. Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen. All right. Again, you tuned into the Love Journey. That was Queen Arlene Cahet, and I am Janae Ingram, and we're going to get started with our beautiful, beautiful Monday. I like to call this Monday the Lifestyles of the Rich and Not So Famous. We're going to start off with a little clip with Jim Carrey. I love this little clip.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail.
Your need for acceptance can make you invisible in this world. Like many of you, I was concerned about going out into the world and doing something bigger than myself, until someone smarter than myself made me realize that there is nothing bigger than myself. Don't let anything stand in the way of the light that shines through this form. Risk being seen in all of your glory. Our eyes are not viewers, they are also projectors that are running a second story over the picture that we see in front of us all the time. Fear is writing that script, and the working title is, I'll Never Be Enough. Spend your whole life imagining ghosts, worrying about the pathway to the future, but all there will ever be is what's happening here, and the decisions we make in this moment, which are based in either love or fear. So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality. What we really want seems impossibly out of reach and ridiculous to expect, so we never dare to ask the universe for it. I'm the proof that you can ask the universe for it. I realized one night in LA that the purpose of my life had always been to free people from concern, just like my dad. I did something that made people present their best selves to me wherever I go. How will you serve the world? What do they need that your talent can provide? That's all you have to figure out. I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. You can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love. Relax and dream up a good life.
Wow. That was Jim Carrey.
Taught me, which is that you have to work harder than you think you possibly can. You can't hold grudges. It's hard, but you can't hold grudges.
Wow. So I promised you that I was going to tell you the two stories about the janitor who secretly amassed an $8 million fortune and then donated it all to his community. And then I was going to tell you about a new university librarian who left $8 million. So let's see. We're going to get started with a New Hampshire librarian. Oh, no, he left $4 million to his employee. He amassed $8 million of fortune. He said, here's the article. What are they putting in the water in New England, in Vermont? You know, a janitor left part of his $8 million fortune to a hospital and a library. Now, in New Hampshire, a librarian has left his $4 million fortune to his employer and alma mater. Robert Marine, who passed away in March of 2015, graduated from the University of New Hampshire in 1961. And in 1965, he got his first job at the University Diamond Library and worked there for nearly 50 years until 2014. His obituary said Maureen wrote descriptions of DVDs, entered ISBN numbers of CDs, and cataloged sheet music. But in the early 1970s, Maureen began working with a financial advisor named Edward Mullen. Mullen told the union leader Maureen accumulated his wealth by living frugally. He drove an older vehicle, ate frozen dinner, and never went out. Unsurprisingly, the library enjoyed reading. He attempted to read every book published in the United States from 1930 to 1940, excluding children's books, textbooks, cookbooks, and books about technology. At the time of his death, he had reached 1938, the year of his birth. Maureen also watched more than 22,000 videos from 79 to 97. Now, all the videos, books, and frugal living paid off by the 2000s. Maureen had saved a sizable chunk of money. In fact, there was almost $1 million in his retirement account alone. Wow. Now, Maureen didn't dedicate most of the $4 million bequest to UNH. According to Mullen, the library trusted university to use the money wisely. Deborah Dutton, the president of the UNH Foundation, told the union leader that unrestricted gifts like Maureen's give the university the flexibility to use the funds where it was needed the most. So this extraordinary gift that comes at a crucial time for launching a number of initiatives that are only able to move forward because of his generosity, Dutton said. So the University of New Hampshire president, Mark Hutterson, said $2.5 million from the bequest will help launch an expanded and centrally-located career center for students and alumni. Another $1 million will pay for a video scoreboard for the new football stadium. And apparently, in the last 15 months of his life, Maureen watched a lot of football and memorized the rules and the players. Maureen only earmarked $100,000 for the Diamond Library for scholarships for work-study students, supporting staff members who study library science, and upgrading the library's multimedia rooms. Perhaps Maureen hoped to inspire some future librarian who will follow in his footsteps. This man acquired $8 million and gave $4 million of it to the university while as a librarian. Wow. What an amazing lifestyle of the rich but not so famous. All right, we're going to go into our next article. And this was a janitor who also amassed $8 million and then donated it all to his community. Ronald Reed didn't live a very high-profile life. In fact, he was best known for being quiet, private, hardworking, and frugal. But since his passing on June 2, 2014, at the age of 92, the man who lived in Windham County, Vermont, has made national and international headlines for leaving behind $8 million fortune and donating most of it all to the community. You see, the bulk of his estate came from the 5-inch thick stack of stock certificates he left in the safe deposit box. He owned at least 95 stocks at the time of his death, spread across a variety of sectors, including railroad, utility companies, bank, healthcare, telecom, and consumer products. He avoided technology stocks. Some of his long-time holdings include Procter & Gamble, J.P. Morgan Chase, General Electric, and Dow Chemical. He also had large stakes in J.M. Smucker, CVS Health, and Johnson & Johnson. According to the Wall Street Journal, he bought 39 shares of Pacific Gas and Electric on January 13, 1969, when they were worth $2,380. At the time of his death, they were worth about $10,735, taking into account subsequent stock splits of 2-for-1 and 3-for-1 that increased the share total to 234, but he had increased his shares in the company to 578 for a total of over $26,500. How did a man who pumped gas and worked as a janitor at JCPenney possess this kind of stock savvy? He subscribed to the Wall Street Journal, embarrassed, and made use of the local library. His neighbor, who was also the Wells Fargo advisor in Brattleboro, often chatted with him about investing. Today, this independent, heavily researched approach to investing is typically considered too cumbersome. Most low-cost investors like Reeve favor online trading platforms and readily accessible information on the Internet. The easy way probably wasn't Reeve's way. He was born in 1921 and grew up in a very small house in Vermont. Determined to be the first in his family to graduate from high school, he walked and hitchhiked to school 10 miles every day until he graduated in 1940. During World War II, he served in North Africa, Italy, and the Pacific. Returning to Vermont just before Christmas in 1945, he worked almost 25 years as Haven Service Station at the corner of Green and High Street. He retired, found it didn't suit him, and started working again as a janitor at JCPenney until 1997, all the while he was earning millions of dollars. People were stunned that he had that much money. Ruth Marks told the Reformer newspaper, "I bought some old fence wiring from him once because I thought he could use the money." People were also shocked about his bequest. This particular guy left an unrestricted gift of $1.2 million to the Brooks Memorial Library, the largest single bequest the library has received since George Brooks helped found the library in 1886. The Brattleboro Memorial Hospital received $4.8 million from his estate, the largest single gift the hospital had ever received. Reed is also survived by two stepsons who likely received large chunks too. For a man who lived a modest life in one New England town, Red certainly made quite the splash after his death. His hard work and investing savvy will help many people in the community he called home. Wow. And the reason why I chose these two stories on our lifestyle of the rich and not so famous is because I wanted to let you know how amazing God is in some other ways. You know, think about it. These two guys who lived a very simple life decided to start investing and saving their money. And I'm sure if they can do it, we can do it too. So as I think about our dreams of reaching a higher level of existence. Maybe we desire greater success. Maybe we desire greater abundance, more love, more peace, more health, energy, or purpose. But no matter what you dream of, getting to that level, you know, of that soulful success, the one that you yearn in your heart, the yearning, it requires action. And that perhaps maybe the most courageous thing we can do today is to take action. One of the things is maybe letting go of some things. Sometimes we move to new places. Maybe it's just about finding stillness and slowing down to find peace. Maybe it's letting go of some things cluttering your mental life. You see, the art of letting go is the same thing as creating a vacuum in your life. And Webster defines a vacuum as the emptiness of space. Let's be honest, maybe that space is what's scary. Maybe that's why we don't get still. Maybe being still with ourselves, it's more scarier than we can imagine. I saw a Facebook quote on Facebook. It said, "People who are lonely are afraid to be alone with themselves." I thought, wow, that's an interesting thought process. I was talking to a young lady and we were talking about, she's about 23, 24. She didn't want to be alone. And I said, "Why, you didn't want to be alone with the most important person in your life, which is you?" She said that was scary for her. Why, being in our own space, being in a space with the most important person in the world, in our own world, is scary. Why? Well, could it be our fearful mind chatter? We say that only bad things will fill that space. We start to future trip the worst case scenario and fear it with our heart. Here's the neat thing. Do you know every expansion is life? It's preceded by a vacuum. And if you want to grow, you got to create space for a new life to be born. But we fear the emptiness of space because we're looking to the future through the lens of the past. Let me say that again. Could we fear the emptiness of space because we're looking to the future through the lens of the past, it's not a good thing. You see, we got to have the courage to create that vacuum and then choose to fill that vacuum with our vision and then allowing the energy of the universe to pull us into new uncharted territories. Because remember, God wouldn't give us a vision without the provision. Martin Luther King said we got to take the first step even when we don't see the rest of the stairs. Because when you take that first step, the second step, and maybe even if, sometimes even taking the second step, then the third step, and you won't even see the staircase until maybe the fifth step. But I remember meditating when I couldn't see the steps, when I couldn't see what was ahead of me. And I remember God saying to me, laying in that bed, you got to have faith. I'm like, well, what is faith? What does that really mean? And God said, trusting in the process of the unknown. That thing blew my mind. I got up. I got to trust in the process of the unknown. You see, we got to have courage to create a vacuum. We got to have courage with our vision and allow the energy of the universe to pull us in those directions, even when we can't see how, when, or where, or what's going on. Because what if the best case scenario was ahead of you? Not the worst. What if you feared the vacuum when it would be wiser to celebrate the vacuum? And for me, I'm loving the vacuum. There's new energy, a new perspective, a new life starting to form, and I couldn't be happier. You see, when we resist then you miss out. And then when you get there, you wonder what all the fuss was all about. You see, the fearful mindset sure didn't know what it was talking about because it's a new day, family. And in a new day, you'll be so thrilled. Now, what vacuum are you ready to create in your life? Maybe it should kind of scare you. Maybe you already know. But it's time to make room for that new life. It's time to make room for that dream that you always talk about. Talk about it. You got to be about it. Are you ready? What do you need to let go? What do you need to do to move from the space you're in right now to absolutely manifesting that dream? The dream that's been so eloquently placed in front of you. The dream that's been so eloquently placed in your heart. I remember growing up in Dr. Johnny Coleman's church, and she said that dreams and desires are just God, the Creator, tapping at our soul, wanting to manifest more of itself through us. So why are we afraid? Why are we afraid to do the very thing that the Creator is tapping at our soul? I saw an article, and it's called The Rituals. These rituals are the difference between success and failure. And I thought, wow, well, this, I didn't think about what rituals do successful people do? You know, when you think about the habits of people who are doing what you want to do, and he said, I really believe that the quality of our life is the quality of our rituals and our consistent habits. See, a ritual is not necessarily a seance or standing over a fire and doing something strange. A ritual is a habit that you do every single day. And when you really look at high achievers, high performers, or anyone who achieves goals or desired outcome, one of the things they have in common, guess what? It's consistency. You see, consistency is perhaps one of the greatest attributes and assets that you could ever have toward achieving, living the life of your dreams and living your purpose. And there are certain rituals that will set you up
to win will set you up to fail. And I want to share those with you today in this video, in this article. It's very simple, and here's what your nighttime ritual and your morning ritual. I really think the most important ritual is not your morning ritual, but your nighttime ritual, because your nighttime sets you up for the morning. So I want you to think about this. What do you do at night? What do you do before bed? So there are a couple of options. You could stress out on the computer, eat a ton of food that's massively fatty and starchy, drink a bunch of alcohol, then pass out, right? That's one ritual. And then you can wake up in the morning and you're like, why am I so tired? And you need like 30 injections of coffee to get going. Then you skip meals in the morning. You don't exercise. You don't meditate. And you kind of pull yourself through the day until somewhere between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Then you crash. Then you eat a bunch of sugar or drink a bunch of caffeine to push yourself through. And then you haven't really managed your food all day. And then in the evening, you do the same thing because you drag yourself home. You're tired. And you stuff yourself full of a bunch of food. That's like a reward for your hard day. And then this cycle repeats itself. So I want to talk to you today and have a sobering, real heart-to-heart conversation about your nighttime ritual, specifically, and then your morning ritual. So here's an ideal nighttime ritual. I want you to focus on getting home in time to take care of yourself. I want you to set boundaries with work or school or kids or whatever you have to do to set boundaries so that you get home in time. And if you're working overtime every single day and you get home and you have 15 minutes before you're supposed to go to bed, that is not self-care. So first of all, we need enough time in the evening to take care of ourselves. We want to make the evening about tidying up around the house. We want to make the evening about setting your day up so that when you wake up, you're good to go. So what does that look like? Well, for me, it's this. I believe one of the most important things that you got to do is have a healthy life and a passionate, charged, energetic life. It's to drink water. There are tons of studies on how important water is. So one of the things I do every night before I go to bed is I drink 9 of these. That's 9 liters every single day. I fill it up. I put it in the fridge. It takes 5 minutes, but it's the most important 5 minutes of my day. Let me say that again, because at night he fills these liters up and he puts it in his refrigerator. And because when I fill up my bottles of water, it helps me be hydrated the whole entire day, which prevents disease, increased metabolism, and gives me energy and helps my skin out and flushes my system out. And all the things that water has this great benefit of doing, but I also get all my supplements ready to go. I get all my pre- and post-workout stuff ready to go. I grind the coffee. I feed the water pot. So in the morning, all I have to do is flip it on, and boom, it's there. Hot water. I prep everything so that when I wake up, I go. And by going, what I do is I exercise. I take my supplements. I have an immediate breakfast, and then I meditate. I set my intention for the day. But that is made possible by my nighttime ritual. So my nighttime rituals are making sure that everything for the morning is set up on time and making sure that I have proper wind down practice, proper wind down practice, scheduling a stopping point for technology, scheduling a stopping point to turning Facebook and social media off, not getting stressed out with all the work and all the demands of running a multi-million-dollar business. I have to turn it off and I have to start to wind down, because when you're stressed out, cortisol, adrenaline is running, and that's not a great cocktail in your body for going to sleep. The other thing is your nighttime ritual helps you to fall asleep. So take a relaxing bath. Meditate at the end of the day to slow down the mind. Make sure that you don't eat 2 or 3 hours before bed so that you're not going to bed on a full stomach. You see, the thing is, when you're going to bed on a full stomach and your body is digesting a bunch of food, it disrupts your sleep pattern. So these are things that you can do at night to set yourself up to have a great morning. Now, what does this look like? Not eating 2 or 3 hours before bed. Making sure that you're hydrated throughout the day. Making sure that you set yourself up in the morning so that you can wake up and go. Get your water going. Get your multivitamins going. Get this coffee ground. Whatever it is you got to do, make time and make sure that you're up and ready to go. And then
having a relaxing evening environment. So light a candle, get a diffuser, take a bath, whatever you got to do to wind down. There are some great sleep aids on the market. 5-HTP and melanin and magnesium are some great ways to help you wind down and go to sleep. And then that allows you to get, check this, 8 hours of sleep. That's your badge of honor. Can you get 8 hours of sleep? Because if you have the right nighttime rituals with the right boundaries at night, you can get 8 hours of sleep. And it means you got to say no to social functions. It means you got to manage your time more and set better boundaries in your afternoon and evenings, but you can do this. In the morning, are you breaking your fast with good food? I have an incredible, well-balanced breakfast every single morning. I do an hour of morning cardio every morning. I do 20 to 30 minutes of meditation every morning. I have my multivitamins, my supplements every morning. I do my visualization every morning. And all that is done before I'm getting an email and going about my day. Wow. I got a lot of work to do here. So the two rituals that will set you up for massive success are your nighttime rituals and your morning ritual. So here's my request. You might be listening to this, but I want you to really think about how are you going to improve your nighttime ritual? Because your nighttime ritual determines the quality of your life because it sets you up to have a great morning. How are you going to improve your morning ritual so that you can have a power and purposeful driven day? I want you to really answer these questions. Today, let's see how you're going to answer those questions. Let's put them on the love journey this morning underneath when I post this call today. Let's talk about that. I'm going to post on the love journey. And I'm going to make a commitment to my own nighttime ritual because I don't do half of that. And I need to do more of that. So I'm going to be making a commitment in these next 100 and some days before the year is over to have a different nighttime ritual so that my morning rituals can be very different as well. Wow. Any comments, concerns, or any thoughts? Did this make you think like it made me think? If so, let's talk about it. If you're on Blog Talk, press 1. And if you're on the teleconference, press 6. Star 6. Whew. That blew my mind. I hadn't really read the article before I saw the article. And I said, I'm going to read it on the love journey. I didn't know it was going to blow my mind like that. But I'm really going to think about changing the way I do my nighttime rituals. Any comments? Any concerns? Let's talk about it, family. All right. Well, I will definitely be changing my nighttime rituals to set up a different kind of morning ritual. And that was the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. And that was some articles just to assist us in our own dreams today. All right, family, well, seems like you're kind of quiet today. And what I will do is just keep it on moving, family. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey on this Monday morning. I'm going to post this and I'm going to be thinking and journaling how I can change my nighttime rituals. Whew. Again, I want to thank
you. Good morning, Lady Love.
Good morning.
Peace and blessings to you, my queen. I was just talking away, but I had my own phone muted. I apologize for that. Wow. Thank you so much, because this is the process that I am in for myself, because I have not been waking up in the morning with energy and whatnot and not getting a good night's rest. I have not been really taking the best care of myself before going to bed. And also, you know, what we're doing, you know, what are we watching before we go into bed, you know, that plays a big role as well. And because we take it to bed with us, you know. I know when I see a lot of stuff on TV, especially when it's violent and whatnot, I'm having those dreams. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I wake up just as worse as I did before I even went to sleep. And mm-hmm. So I am hydrating myself even more, because I find that when you're taking medication, or, you know, that also dehydrates you as well. And so it's very important that we do keep our body hydrated so that we can have the energy and not be in that low vibration. You know, as simple as these steps are, it becomes very hard, especially when you're dealing with the day-to-day life of everyone's energy that is in the house. And you really have to have that me time. And that's, I have to have my space in the morning time. I desire to get up first thing in the morning, and I like to, you know, prepare myself. You know, I like to wash my face and brush my teeth, and I like to sit on the porch and just take in the day. But then seems like other little people want to come around in my space, and I'm like, wait, no, this is my time. This is not for you to be coming talking to me. This right here is for me. So we really have to, you know, that's the boundary. I just realized that. That is the boundary. When we need our time, we do not need no distraction, because it really helps set the tone for my day anyway, you know. So I will be increasing my water intake, because at nighttime, it's just the getting up and going to the bathroom part. But I believe once I've really gotten my body hydrated to where at nighttime it really won't bother me, because right now everything is really just like rolling, going through me, because I don't have the hydration in me, and I know it. So I am walking around feeling tired and sluggish, you know, and going to bed at a proper time, a decent time, you know, because you already know what you had to do for the day before. Why go to bed 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning when you know you want to be up 7 a.m.? So, you know, take care of yourself, you know. And so I'm doing that with myself now, because I recognize, you know, in the reading that you was doing this morning, what you were saying, I'm like, yeah, these are all the things that I'm just beginning to start to do. And so I thank you so very, very much. And although, you know, I'm not able to, you know, physically, the exercising part, it just requires movement. So, you know, that moving around, I may not can do the calf status and all that stuff there, but I can move just the same, whether it be through dancing, putting the music on and just dancing, exercising, just making movement, you know. So thank you so very much, Lady Love, for this today, because it is very much well needed. And I know now that I am on the right track and what I'm doing for myself. So thank you so very much. I'm complete.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie, for making a commitment to changing your nighttime rituals. Wow. Well, that is powerful. And to me, it was really, really powerful just to watch ordinary people doing extraordinary things and saving $8 million. Wow. What a wonderful, powerful. You know, you can do anything when you put your mind to it. You can do it. You can do it, family.
But Lady Love, with that, both of them, they lived a life that no one would have thought that they had all this going on. They lived a humble life. You know, they didn't do a lot of social getting around. So, you know, I'm just wondering, were they somewhat like a loner or something, you know, where, you know, they stay much to themselves and just watch the world, and they are creating their own world, and people don't know nothing about them until they are gone?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, when you think about personalities, every personality doesn't want to be in the spotlight. So when you think about, I imagine their personalities to ravishly read books to the point to understand how to create an $8 million estate, you know, it had to take a certain kind of discipline and a certain type of personality. And you think about a personality, you know, of a guy who saved up a lot of his money, but if he had two stepsons, it means he had a family, so that means he had to, you know, have a portion of his money saved, so I'm sure he had to take care of the family. But I'm like thinking, you know, I believe it's just mostly disciplining ourselves and deciding. You know, when we think about when we went to the Millionaire Mind Intensive Workshop, you think about one of the things that they told us is about having an intention of, you know, investing a certain amount of money and taking 10% out of your income every pay period and investing and making that nest egg and never, ever, 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 ever spend that nest egg. You know, you take that nest egg and you take the interest and put back in it and put back in it and put back, and then eventually when you're in your retirement age, you live on the interest. And then you'll be able to pass the nest egg on to your children, and then they never, 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 never spend it. And then, you know, and then they invest the interest until they're in their retirement age. You know, so I think it's just about how we think about money, how we invest money, how we look at taking money and letting money make money for us. I think that's the big thing that when I, and you know, I sit every week with different, well, not every week, but every so often with different millionaires, and that's been my quest, is to sit with millionaires. And the last millionaire I sat with, the one thing that he said, and he happens to be an African-American guy, he said, in our community, we're not creating relationships with our money. These are the four things that I got off the top of my head. I have my millionaire interview notebook, and I take notes where I'm sitting with the millionaires. And one of the things that he said that stayed in my consciousness is this. He said there are four things that we need to do in order to create the consciousness. And one of the things he said, we as Black people have come to a point where we've amassed the opportunity to make a lot of money. He said, but we don't have a relationship with our money. And because he comes from a long line of farmers, he said the first thing we need to do is learn how to plant our money. Plant our money, because anything, he said, anything you plant is going to grow and grow more abundantly. He said the second thing is we need to learn how to create a relationship with our money. He said we bring the money in, and the first thing you think is what can we pay, what can we spend, what can we buy. He said we don't create a relationship with our money. He said, because it's important that we have a relationship with our money, not send our money out and pay the baker, the candlestick maker, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and all those people. He said, we have to create a relationship with our money. And so because he's a farmer, he thinks a lot like George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver had a relationship with the plants. He said the plants spoke to him. But the third thing this man said is that the money spoke to him. He said he would sit with his money, and he would have his money tell him where he should circulate his money to bring his money back to him in a millionfold. Sounds kind of esoteric, thinking of a millionaire, thinking about the way we see money and the way we see material life. But he said he sat with his money, and he asked his money, what direction should I take in order for you to come back to me a millionfold so that my money can make money for me? Isn't that an interesting concept? Of all the people I talked to, I think his steps of becoming a millionaire was really interesting. He said you got to plant the money. He said we have to learn how to let our money make money for us. He said we have to have a relationship with our money. He said, spend time just sitting with the money when you make it. Don't send it out. Just sit with it. And he said, and be still and ask your money, how can I move you and circulate you so that you will move, come back to me a millionfold? He said, speak to your money. He said he would sit with his money and be still. He said he would bless his money. He was a praying man. So I think in those concepts, those were very, very interesting concepts. Think about how to relate with our money and create a relationship that will bring the money back into our experience. He said, don't just sit, get your money, and then spend it right out. He said that everybody immediately cash the check, put their money in the bank, or put the check immediately in the bank, and don't even think about a relationship. He said, think about when you're relating to your relationship with someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with. He said, if you don't spend time with it, it's not going to come back and grow. So if you don't spend time with your money, he said, it's not going to grow. So I want you to think about that. Now, we met two interesting guys we heard about today. They created money as a librarian and as a janitor and created an $8 million fortune. What kind of discipline? We talked about the kind of night rituals we should have. Maybe we should create some kind of ritual around our money before we get to sending our money out and think about creating a relationship. It may sound kind of esoteric. Well, how do you create such a relationship with something that's inanimate? But everything has a life. Everything is energy. And if everything is energy and energy can be manipulated and multiplied, then what does that mean? That means we can sit with our energy and money and think about how to multiply our money so that we can bring forth what it is that we want to bring forth. Because most of the dreams that you all have are going to take money, right? And it doesn't matter how much money you make. Think about a janitor's salary, a librarian salary. These guys in the 1960s and 70s, and I'm sure a librarian salary in the 1960s and the 1970s is nowhere near what it is today, and a janitor's salary. Now, this janitor took care of a family and created an $8 million fortune on a janitor's salary and pumping gas at a gas station. And he was working at JCPenney as a janitor. So think about it. Plant your money. Learn how to let your money make money for you. Have a relationship with your money. And get still and ask your money, what can I do to multiply you? I mean, that's what he said. And I asked him, will he come on the line? He said to get back to him in October, because out of all the millionaires I spoke to, Thomas Bowling, this guy was the most amazing energy. And it was just so, the excitement of the things that he was saying, I felt like I wanted to share him with you guys so that we can really all hear his story, where he come from, and ask him questions. Because so many times we look to advice from people who are not doing what we want to do. We always look into somebody because the perception of what we think. But if you want to be a millionaire, don't come to Janine yet. But one day you'll be able to come. Go to somebody who's actually have amassed a million, and I mean, and kept the million, and is investing that million and doing what you want to do today. That's my story. Any more questions, comments, or concerns before we go? All right. Well, family, I just want to say thank you again. You've been tuned into The Love Journey. I am Janine Ann Ingram. I'm going to remind you the Remarkable Women Conference is this weekend, September 23rd and 24th. Yes, we were on the AC Green radio yesterday, and we had a phenomenal time talking about this amazing conference that's coming up. I am one of the dynamic speakers along with some other dynamic women. If you're interested in getting your tickets, your VIP tickets are $100. Friday night is $50, Saturday is $35, the both days is $85, and the VIP gets you both days swag bags and a year worth for taking your business to the next level with some phenomenal women who are doing some amazing things. And community. If you want to make a donation to a woman who lives in a shelter who can come to the conference, you're more than welcome to make a donation for a ticket, for a part of a ticket or whatever. But the Remarkable Woman Conference is September 23rd and the 24th right here in Chicago. And guess what? Common. I saw Common yesterday. He was like, are you coming to the office? And I'm like, I don't even know nothing about it. Guess what? Chicago. Common is doing an office right here in Chicago with the Roots. Some of y'all may not know the Roots. They from the East Coast. The Roots. Yes, yes, yes. J. Cole and quite a few other beautiful and amazing artists. And they're all conscious artists right here in Chicago. They're having a community day on the 24th. And on the 25th, you're going to have all the artists right here in Chicago. It's the Office, A-A-H-H, Office with Common. And it's about giving back to the community, and they're going to be right here in Chicago, so you're going to check that out. Don't forget our beautiful, amazing Rosa J is back on, you all. She's doing that Meditate Till You Levitate every morning, and our beautiful sister who had the courage to share her gift, got her new book, Mama Should Have Told You. That's Carla LaRoe Hawkins. You want to hear her story. She's going to be one of our guest speakers soon. Whenever she's ready, we're going to get that book. We're going to read it. We're going to ask questions. We're going to hear her story, and we're going to just be so amazed at all the things that it took for Carla to be the woman she is today, you know, because life is always happening for us, not to us. So we're going to hear about her domestic violence situation and how she grew into the woman to attract an amazing husband who no longer is doing things of that nature. We're going to talk about raising her children, things that she had to go through in order to become the spirit, the amazing sister today. I tell you, that book, you don't want to miss it. Get the opportunity. Call Carla LaRoe Hawkins and get her book at 708-878-1633. That's Carla LaRoe Hawkins, 708-878-1633. And don't forget, our own, very own Z has her book as well, Memoirs of Jamaica. Don't forget, you want to check her book out too. Whew, it's getting closer and closer to birthing it. She sent me the picture of the back cover yesterday. It is a beautiful, amazing book. Don't forget The Unwelcome Committee. You got to get that book. Wow. The comments, the text, the things that I've been seeing on Facebook, the text and the emails that came in from listening to three women tell their story about how they lost their husband. I tell you, Khadija Ali, our sister, is doing amazing things. You want to check out Evolutionary Woman. I tell you, the woman is evolving. I tell you, she has a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Go to Evolutionary Woman today at 4:30 Eastern, 5:30. Or maybe I got that wrong, 5:30 Eastern and 4:30 Central, and check out the Evolutionary Radio Show every Monday and Thursday. All right, family, we're going to get out of here. I want you to have an amazing day. Spend time with your money. Know God is good all the time God is good. And no, ain't no stopping us now, family. I'm going to send this out to Chastity. I don't know if she's on the line this morning, but if she's not, we're sending love to Chastity A. Wells because this is her favorite song. Ain't no stopping. We're sending Miss LaRue love, Deborah Ricks, and all of our family members who are just doing what they do, time of their own processes. We love you, Miss LaRue. We love you, Deborah Ricks. And Chastity, this song is for you. Ain't no stopping us now, family. Let's take our life to the next level. There's only 100 and some days left in this year, 2017, to be here, and I wanted to come and bringing it in real, baby, bringing it in real with our dreams and our visions already birthing. Let's do it, family. Ain't no stopping you. See you in the morning on Two Turned Up Tuesday. Don't forget, meditate till you levitate with Rosa J. In the morning, 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern. Have a great day.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirt together, gonna polish up our ass. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
I'm going to be posting on the Love Journey my rituals and what I'm going to do to take my life to the next level. I hope you do the same. Have a great day. Love you. See you in the morning on Two Turned Up Tuesday. Have a great, phenomenal, love-filled day, filled with lots of joy, happiness, success, and money substance. Have a peaceful, prosperous day. Love you.